Let's now turn our attention to the first epistle of Peter, the Apostle Peter, writing in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's the last chapter of Peter's first epistle. And I'll read verses 1 through 11, almost the entire chapter. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This being the word of God, and being read in the congregation of saints, with God present, of course. It's very important. Very wise to listen. So let's listen, beginning 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May God add grace to the hearing of his sacred word. Once again, Lord, we are thankful to have the heart and mind of your dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in us, abiding in us. And we pray that that's stimulated, that the Spirit would stimulate the grace of God, and all the more that we might truly observe your will. Yes, your will be done in our lives according to your word, which is heard in your presence now this morn. It's in his name we say these things and pray these things. Amen. I'm looking at verse 5 here in the main. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That first part, by the way, is advice, counsel, command for young people to submit to the elder. Now, some would argue that it's just young people submitting to the elderly or older people. And that may be the case, but probably not, based on the context. It's just prior to that, he's talking to the elders, the overseers, not to lord it over or anything like that. But this ye younger usually, oftentimes, is interpreted to mean that younger people ought to submit themselves to the elders of the church. They ought to submit themselves to the elderly as well, for sure. But in particular, the elder of the church, which is clearly something that people do not want to do or even teach these days, who call themselves Christians. But there it is. It's pretty clear. However, I want to focus mainly on the next part of the verse. I'm calling 5b. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, before I go on with that, just one more thing I want to add about young people. And that is they're full of enthusiasm, right? They're full of strength. They're full of vitality. But they're also full of inexperience. And so it's clear that those who are inexperienced, whether they be young in age or young in the faith, I might add that, they may be older in age, but young in the faith, ought to submit to those who are older in the faith, to the more experienced, to the wise among us. Again, that's not something that is popular, submission, right? That's a bad word today, isn't it? It's not a good word. Submit to the authorities in government, oh yeah. You know, submit to the Green New Deal, oh yeah. Submit to all these rules and regulations that politicians and little tyrants in various places throughout the culture, oh yeah. But submit to the godly, submit to the elder, the wise, the prudent, one that is practiced in morality and ethics and the faith. Are you kidding? And yet it tells us everyone. Everyone is to submit one to another. It says that we are to be clothed, put on clothes, the clothing of humility. Why? Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So those are my points. Submission, humility, and God resisting the proud and giving grace. So I want to first talk about submission. It says submit one to another. Now, by nature, I'm not willing to do that. I'd rather be served than be a servant. And that's what submission means, to serve another. I don't want to do that. I want to be served by nature. Now, that's everybody's nature. I mean, sometimes we like to serve and you get some credit for it and, you know, it's a nice thing to do. We think of it as a nice thing to do, but that's not what the Bible here is talking about. I'm not talking about you being a nice guy about things or a nice gal. It's saying submit one to another as a calling, as a responsibility, as an activity for life in every detail of life. Whatever stage you're at or in, submit. This goes well, by the way. You think about marriage, and one of the vows is promises is that the wife would submit to the husband. It's in the Bible. It's in Ephesians chapter 5 and other places as well. Peter talks about Sarah calling her husband master, which in the Greek means Lord. Imagine calling your husband, women, Lord and Master. Oh my. That's just so obnoxious. Oh, but that's what the Bible says. Role of the wife. The calling of the wife, the high calling of the wife, is submission. You know why? Because submission is beauty. Beauty. A woman is physically more attractive. Her calling is according to her nature. It's beauty. It shows, you know, because we're so interested, women are interested in beauty, beauty products, making themselves as beautiful as possible on the outside. And that's, I'm not putting that down. You don't want to become overboard with that. But it's okay to take care of yourself and make yourself shine as much as possible. But beauty on the inside, see? And how does a woman expose the beauty that is in her nature from within? By submission. The husband is called to lead as an example of love, sacrifice, mercy, compassion. That's his call. However, does that mean because the husband is to be an example of love and sacrifice and compassion that the wife is not called to love? Of course not. No one would say that. Likewise, just because the wife is called to beautify not only her outward self but her inward self through submission, that mean that the husband is not to submit and show a humble and submissive and obedient spirit? Of course not. Well, that's what we have here. Right here. Everyone, young and old and all in between, whichever you station in life, submit one to another. By nature, I don't want to do it. Why don't I want to do it? Because I am proud. Because I am self-absorbed. Because I think more highly of myself than I ought. Because I do think that I'm a good guy. And I'm a nice guy. I have even told you that I'm one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. On a personal level, one-to-one. Maybe not from the pulpit, doesn't show. But on a personal level, I'm one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But that is really hogwash about myself, my inner self. I know what I'm like. That's why, like Paul, I agree I'm a chief sinner. Because I know my sin much better than I know your sin. And my sin's a whole lot worse. Because I know it. It's intimate. I have a relationship with my sin, an intimate relationship with my sin. I don't have that with yours. We're all chief sinners. But pride says, well, I'm not so bad. You know what the problem is with politicians and educators? Husbands, wives as well, marriages. You know, the problem is in schools with students and teachers. One of the main problems, you know, I talk about this in counseling all the time, but somehow it doesn't reach these people who are, half of them are in counseling. I think half the politicians are on drugs and counseling. I really do. I'm you know, some kind of medicine. It's destroying their thinking. But you know what the problem is? Not the only problem by any means, but one of the main problems. It's a control issue. People have control issues. They want to be in charge. They want to be in control of other people. Politicians want. Teachers want, students want to control teachers want to control students, politicians want to control the voters, The voters want to control the politicians. People on the internet want to control everybody else on the internet. I mean, there's a huge part of the problem going on in our culture and society is control. I want power over someone. I want control over someone. You see how this flies in the face. The apostles' advice here in chapter 5, the second part, flies in the face of everything we see and hear, or a lot of what we see and hear. You guys want to have power, and you guys want to be in charge. You want to have control over every aspect of my life. So I can't put in a toilet bowl in my bathroom without your permission. You guys are really power hungry, guys and gals. And now with this Green New Deal and controlling every single aspect of our existence and healthcare, throw in healthcare as well and all that, the government wants to be in charge of everything. Because it's pride. It's what it is. That's serving you. Serving themselves. Not everyone, but a lot. It's strange to have somebody that's in leadership position that says, I want to serve you. I really, but and proves it and shows it. I want to really serve you. Well, that's what we're told here. We want to serve. We want to be in submission to one another. We want to lead by example and lead in service. One to another. I do not want you to serve me. I want to serve you. That's hard to do. To really have that penetrate into your life so much so that it just shines forth. That's hard to do. I mean, you're given an opportunity every single day to do it. And how many times a day do we fail to do that? That's why I like to be alone. My wife accuses me, you want to be alone too much. Yeah, because when I'm with people, I want to control them. I don't want to be a servant by nature. I don't want to meet all their needs all the time. To everyone I meet, Lord, can't someone serve me? It's not the attitude we're supposed to have, although it's the attitude we often do have. And we need to understand that this call is for every one of us to submit in every aspect of his life. In other words, to serve rather than be served. That's what submit means here, to be a servant. That's our call, and that's everyone. No exemption whatsoever. Now, the Bible gives example. Remember what Jesus did when he washed the feet of his disciples? It wasn't just to wash dirty feet before they entered into a dirty house. Yeah, they had carpets, and not carpets, but rugs and things like that. But, that's not why he did it. He did it to show that I have come not to serve myself, but to glorify my Father first and foremost, of course, and to serve you. My whole life here on earth is in service to you. That's why I've done everything. And the glory of God first, but to serve you. I think mothers and fathers know this well when their baby is an infant, their child's an infant, and they really live for that child. And, even as they grow up, we live for our children. I think we all know what it is to serve another. You're to serve everyone. And that's where the rub is, right? Yeah, I'll serve some people. I'll serve my own. I'll serve my children. I'll sacrifice And you're supposed to do that with everyone. It's not so easy to do. But Jesus showed his disciples that I've done everything, including going to the cross and giving my life for you. I didn't do it for me. I didn't have to do any of it. I did it for you. All of you. Apostle Paul said, you know, I'm not subject to anyone. I'm free from every man. And yet, I've made myself a servant to all that I might gain the more. Told that to the Corinthians, who were busy about boasting about their followers of this one, their followers of that one. I've done this. I have this gift. I have that gift. Paul says, look, I'm free of everyone, and yet I become a servant to everyone so that I can win some or more to Christ. That's how you win, by serving. Jesus brought a little child and he placed it in front of them and said, unless you humble yourselves and become as this little child, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You know, I know how much you know in the Reformed Church, although you don't know as much as you think you do. But you know enough. You know more than the average evangelical Christian. That doesn't matter if you don't have love, if you don't have obedience, if you don't have humility. And you know, take it from one who knows what pride looks like. Got some proud people here. Not in a good way. Take it from one who knows. I see it. I'm no fool. You may think you're fooling me. I don't know. I know I'm not fooling you. Talked about humility. Talked a lot about pride. You know what it is. It's according to your nature. It's what you feel like doing most of all. It's your natural inclination. The fallen inclination, depraved inclination. Do you realize that there is nothing good that anyone can do? No good whatsoever that anyone can do. How does that sit with you? How does that rest with you? Not one thing that you do is good. Everything you do is evil. Everything. Even this. Worship. Evil. Apart from the grace of God. Right? Apart from the grace of God. Well, God, I must be so full of grace because I think everything I do is okay. Isn't that the attitude? I must be so full of your grace because I'm okay, I'm doing good. By nature, none of us can do good. Now, that nature is in every one of us. And it damns us to hell. Hellfire, forever and ever. And yes, we will nod our heads and say, I do deserve hellfire and damnation forever and ever and ever. For everything that I've done, thought, said. Absolutely. No way I deserve heaven, but thanks be to God and Jesus Christ. Right? Now, we're called here in this verse. We talked a lot about pride. We talked about the young. We talked about the elder. We talked about being subject one to another. Being subject means to be a servant to all. Clothed with humility. What does that mean? Clothed with humility. Now, there's a false humility, right? There's people that are humble. You think they're humble because they're afraid. Right, they're afraid that they're going to be disliked by others. They have a low opinion of themselves. There's a lot of fear and insecurity. That's not humility. That's fear. That's insecurity. That's not humility. So they'll agree with you, they'll come along, they're sweet and kind and everything else because they're so frightened of being disliked or being disagreeable to someone. That's just insecure. That's not the humility of God's word. The humility that God is speaking of here through the apostle in this chapter is the kind of humility that comes from, like Paul said, I'm a chief sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I'm an unprofitable servant. I am not worthy to lift up voice or lift up head heavenward, but beat upon my breast like the publican and say, forgive me. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. Be merciful unto me. I see what I really am. I look in the mirror and I do see. I don't have the makeup on and I see all the flaws and all the deformities and all the age setting in. The lines and the wrinkles and in my personality, in my character. And I deserve to die. I do deserve to decay and rot and then go to hell. How can I be saved, O Lord? And it's only through faith in Christ. See, humility sees that the only way that I am going to be anything righteous or holy is through God. Through Him who gives grace and mercy and who loves me in spite of the fact who has taken the punishment for my sin because there's no way that I can do it. Just taking the punishment for my sin upon himself so that I'm free, free at last. Humility sees Christ, sees the worth of the cross of Christ, sees the forgiveness of all my sin in Christ, through Christ, not because my good outweighs my bad or because I've become something I'm not. All the credit, all the glory goes to Jesus. Do you know what the word, the Greek word that is used here to be clothed means? Oftentimes the Bible uses that. We have to put on virtues like clothing and to put off the filthy rags of vices, right? Put on virtues, put off vices. But the word clothed here means to put on as a garment, like you want to really impress, if you will, somebody in a good way. So you put on your best suit, your best dress, and you go out and you want to be known. That's what is implied here by putting on the clothing of humility in such a way that people see it. And it's your best dress, like a garment. It actually comes from a root word. This word, this Greek word, comes from a root word which means to put on an apron. It was used as for a servant, with a servant, to put on his apron before he served his master. That's what we're called to do here. We're to put on that apron of service called humility in order to serve one another and the Lord. Why do we do this? Because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Do you know the meaning of the word resist here? Resist literally means to array or arrange in battle. God is arranged in battle against the proud. Who do you think is going to win? See, outwardly we think that the proud, the self-promoting, the ones that are aggressive, the ones that, you know, go for it and want everything, and they get it, right? They're controlling the world today. They're controlling governments. They're controlling corporations and businesses. They're controlling education. They're controlling politics. They're controlling healthcare. They're controlling everything, this, right? The proud, the arrogant, the nasty, the godless, the unbelieving. That doesn't mean there aren't believers in all those fields, but they're controlling it. The unbelievers are controlling it. They're running the place. So outwardly, in this world, it looks like the proud, the ones that are the enforcers, the ones that demand you serve them, that they rule over you, they're the ones that are winning, right? And the psalmist talks about that. Asaph's psalm, right? Where I thought the proud, I looked at them and they don't have the same problems we have. They don't follow the same rules. They don't follow God. They don't seem to care about God, and yet they have healthy children. They have healthy lives, prosperous lives. They succeed in business and all this stuff. And then I went into the house of God and I understood. You see, this is why the Church of Jesus Christ is so poorly representing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the full counsel of God, because the Church of Jesus Christ is not to be promoting the things that this culture is promoting. We are to be categorically against it all. We are to be against this education. Not all of it, but a lot of it. We are to be against their ugly, disgusting politics. And we are to be against all kinds of things that they're for. Their television shows and their radio programs and their this and their that. Whatever you want to talk about. We are not to be exposing ourselves to them in great detail, amounts of time and all that. So we don't live like that. We don't believe what they believe. They don't practice what they practice. We're not to be absorbed into them. We are to be out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will bless you. I resist the proud. I am arrayed in battle. I'm ready to crush them. And they all will be crushed. Right? All the nations of the world, not one nation is going to stand on the last day. Everyone is going to be leveled in the dust. Except the Church of Jesus Christ. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to those of us who humble ourselves before him and humble ourselves in service to one another, and serve others, the grace, the gospel, the truth, the love, the faith, the hope of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us. Bless us on our way this day. Give us the strength to overcome not only the proud and self-absorbed and self-promoting and self-seeking world in which we live, but our own selves. The tendencies, the proclivities, the things that we have. And help us to understand that the humility that you call, the service that you call us to, is not to disregard all the gifts you've given us, all the talents, all the abilities, in order for us to get along in this society in which we live and to promote Jesus Christ. But that's the thing. Whatever we say, whatever we do, let's promote Jesus Christ, not ourselves, which is unnatural, but promote him. To the glory of God, may all the glory go to him. And whatever we do, help us to submit one to another. to clothe ourselves, to put on that apron of service, of humility. And you will grant us grace, grace upon grace. In your name we say these things, in your name we pray these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.